today on Real Radio.
Would you agree with me tonight that God is worthy of your walk of passionate love for him? Because listen, if you've ever loved someone, you want to give them your best. It's normal. God requires, God is worthy of more. He is God. He will love you forever. And he has expressed that love.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Can I Ask You a Question? Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass, and that is how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 49, we saw that the servant Messiah is none other than God's Son, Jesus Christ. But Israel refused to believe the scripture of the ancient prophets and rejected Christ as the Savior. Still, God promises to save Israel in the end. He'll do it by removing the veil from their eyes so they can not only embrace all the scriptures, but come to only one conclusion, and that is, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So today, on day 1 of chapter 50, Pastor Jack gives us the value of asking a question. When a question is asked, there's always reason behind it. There's always something to be learned, and there's always an answer to be received. And now in his lesson called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
50. Grab your Bibles tonight, Isaiah chapter 50. And I'm telling you, from chapter 50 out now to chapter 66, remarkable 16 chapters of awesome Bible prophecy, fulfillment, promise, and God's faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 11. We'll just march through it as we go through it tonight. But here's the title of this evening's message is this. Can I ask you a question? That's the title. Can I ask you a question? Many years ago, I was a young employee at a massive global corporation, a worldwide organization, and I happened to work at one of their facilities in Orange County, just right there by John Wayne Airport. And I remember seeing one of our divisional presidents come by, and I had a chance to ask him, what do you look for in advancing people? Now, I thought if he's, you know, he's the big wheel walking down the hallway, so he's open game, right? So what do you look for in advancing people? And he said, I'm not interested in education because I can educate anybody. Now, you got to remember, that was quite a statement at that time because you didn't go anywhere without education, without a piece of paper. He said, no, I'm not looking for education because I can educate anybody. He said, what I'm looking for is someone who's willing to learn. You can teach somebody like that. And I said, well, how do you know that in a person? Listen to this. And he said, I know by the questions they ask. If they know what questions to ask, I know that they're looking for answers. And that is a wise statement from a corporate president. And I think it's a wise statement for all of us in life about asking questions. And yet the ultimate person to ask questions is God asking you and I questions, is it not? That the God of heaven even says to Job himself, a righteous man, when God says to Job, stand up, I'm going to question you now. And God went up one side and down the other of our brother Job and questioned him. And how many times regarding Joshua did God question him? God questions his people. And so tonight's message entitled, Can I Question You? Or Can I Ask You a Question? And three things that I think that we need to remember regarding questions as we get into this, that when you ask a question, there's always a reason behind that question being asked. So when a question's being asked, there's a reason. It's not senseless, no matter how silly it may seem to us at the moment. There's a reason. The second thing is that when a question is being asked, there's always something to be learned when a question is being asked. Thirdly, that when a question is asked, there's always an answer to be received. Listen, many of you have young kids, I know, because they're in the children's ministry tonight. Your kids sometimes drive you crazy by the amount of questions they ask. All kinds of questions. In fact, I remember my wife telling me, Lisa was telling me about her nephew, little guy, and he asked her, he said, when's it my birthday? And she gave the date, and she says, it's coming. And he says, yeah, but what is my birthday doing right now? Isn't that a cute question? Someone asked the question, Daddy, do worms yawn? Great questions, wanting answers. Well, look in your Bibles tonight, Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 1. Thus says the Lord, or that is, as some of your Bibles say it, thus saith the Lord. This is God speaking, God questioning. Listen, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? If you're a note taker tonight, where is the certificate? Where's the legal document of Israel being divorced from me? God asked this question. Whom I have put away? Are you saying to me, Israel, that I have divorced you? Where's the proof of this document? God's asked the question. He asked a second question. Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? God is asking through the prophet Isaiah. He's saying to the southern tribes of Judah, show me paperwork that says that I, being your creator God, have taken your lives and have come this far with it, and I've said, I'm done with you. Show me the certification of our marriage where I instigated this divorce. God is indicting the people of the nation saying, I didn't divorce you, Israel. God is saying, I've made you covenant promises that I'm going to keep. But Israel had been disobedient to God. Israel had not listened to God. Israel was religious, but they were not loving on God. Wonderful, passionate intercourse with God, if I can put it that way, in a spiritual relationship, personality to personality between worshiper and God, was now replaced by cold formalism of religion. I saw people today, and I'm not judging anybody, but I saw people today around town with ashes on their forehead. It's obviously Ash Wednesday in some religions. But listen, why is this going on? What's the purpose behind this? The question that I'm asking is this drawing you closer to God? Is it revealing God's heart closer to you and your heart closer to God? And God didn't want a nation called Israel that was just all about formality. He wanted them to be passionately in love with him. And God says, where's the creditors regarding you being sold? I didn't sell you as slaves into that market. Look, he says, for you, your iniquities, you have sold yourselves because you've wanted to satisfy your own desires. Now, church, listen tonight. This might be a hard pill to swallow this evening, but it's got to be said. Every one of us, when God says to us, every one of us, your iniquities are pulling you away from me. We need to remember something as we go through this study. It's vitally important that God does not cause us to sin. We sin because we want to sin. God doesn't make us sin. It doesn't come because God puts some stumbling block in front of us. Every one of us, listen, I'm going to just say this as a blanket statement. I would trust that every one of us in this room tonight want to obey Jesus 100%. It's in my heart to do, but my flesh often trips me up in fulfilling that directive from my soul, from my spirit. If I could, I would be perfect, not for my own glory, but for God. He's worthy of that perfection. Would you agree with me tonight that God is worthy of your walk of passionate love for him? Because listen, if you've ever loved someone, you want to give them your best. It's normal. The love and experience that you have with someone that you care passionately for, God requires, God is worthy of more. He is God. He will love you forever. And he has expressed that love. So church, mark this down. As we look at this question, can I ask you a question? Look at verses 1-3. It's this. Whose fault is this? God is saying, whose fault is it There's not a letter of certification of me divorcing you. There's not a receipt that I'm the one that sold you. That first question regarding the creditors, the second question God is asking, I've not sold you. Who divorced you? By the way, that word certificate here in verse 1, safar in the Hebrew language, it means a ledger. Listen, it means a list of reasons, the numbering of faults and the keeping of accounts. Have you noticed that when a divorce is starting to be long played, put in the making, long before the word might even come out regarding divorce, is that in the mind of a bitter heart, broken heart, crushed heart, bruised heart, at some point where we stop forgiving, we get callous and cold, we see that there's no hope to this, it's not going to work, this relationship's dying or dead. And then when that moment happens, though you may be completely justified in the abuse that you've received, here's the danger part about the inside of us. When we get cold and cynical, we start keeping records. And we think that we're going to say, you wretch. Boy, I've got that one down on you. Oh, you absolute bum you. Man, I got that one down. And you keep the record, but it doesn't affect the other person. It actually begins to eat on you. It begins to consume you. The record keeping begins to eat you up. And I know what I feel it right now in this place. But Jack, you don't know what kind of pain has been put upon me. I understand that, but that's not the way to deal with it. God is saying, what record have I kept? And he's speaking this to Israel. How much more now in Christ Jesus does God say to you and I, what record do I keep regarding you? My son Jesus took all of this at the cross that was written against you, these ordinances that were written against you by the law that condemned you. Jesus took those and nailed those to his cross and he set you free. Remember that. God says to Israel, I'm not keeping a record and I'm not the one that sold you into the slavery. Whose fault is this? You've sold yourself into slavery because of your iniquities. In church tonight, in the 21st century, we can all agree with that. You and I go down a path of absolute slavery and bondage when we decide, even as Christians, to go down a path of satisfying our flesh and our pleasures. We're going to go against the word of God. We're going to disobey what God says. We're going to think his grace will cover it, and I'm going to go do it anyway. The sins of the high hand. God said no. I say, I'll ask him to forgive me later. I'm going to go do it. And God says, I will not forgive the sins of the high hand. That is a sin where I know, God, that you said it. I'm going to do it anyway. And then to make me feel better emotionally, not spiritually, emotionally, I'm going to come back and ask you to forgive me next week when I'm done on this little fling. See you later, God. And God's word says he will not forgive you. And that's not being preached much, and that's not being talked about much in this day and age. And I'm telling you right now, it needs to be said more than ever. There are a lot of people today that are plain Christian, and they may not be the real thing. The word divorce here is the powerful word, karaf, in Hebrew, and it means this. Watch, listen. It means to tear a chunk of flesh out of a body, not cut. You know, a surgeon cuts and extracts, right? Not divorce. Divorce doesn't use a blade. Divorce, imagine grabbing your side with a pair of pliers and pinching down on those pliers and then pulling the flesh out. That's the Hebrew word for divorce. God says, I didn't pull me away from you, Israel, and take a chunk out of you. I didn't do that. God is saying, you did that to me. You're the one that's run out on me. You've left me. Powerful. Verse 1 continues, for your iniquities have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions, your mother, that is your nation Israel, has been put away. God says, I've set you off to the side now. And this is the truth of God's dealing with Israel. And no other nation on earth, by the way, it's remarkable. Maybe you're here tonight or you're watching tonight, and you say, what's the big deal about Israel in the Bible? There's no other nation on earth that God has dealt with like he has with Israel. Israel is his chosen people. Israel, if they would obey God, would be the most blessed people on earth. That was God's will for them. And they will someday come back to him. But he wants to bless. And I thought about this. The tragedy of self-inflicted wounds broke God's heart. They went to worship. They went to the temple. They knew the Torah. They had the prophets. They had Isaiah speaking to them. They had all the trappings of religion. But it's as though they lived in two different homes or two different addresses. I don't know if this works or not. Maybe some of you do know. But for example, if you live in California and if you live in Nevada and you have homes in both places, do you get to vote in both those states? Does anybody know the answer to that? I mean, you're a resident in both. You pay taxes in both. I don't know what the rule is. But you have two legal residents. Are you with me? You're in both places at the same time, so to speak. But you're physically and only at one place at a time, right? God would say to Israel, why do you come to me on Sabbath and you're living at this address, and then when Sabbath is over, you move over to the other address? One is here in Chino Hills, and the other one is in Vegas. I'm just making that up. I'm not saying anything about Vegas. I'm just saying. Like Chino Hills is some saintly counter to Vegas. I'm just saying. And yet in Christianity, just like it was in the days of Israel, because nothing's changed. God wants a personal relationship with you. And if your life is messed up, there's a good chance that like Israel, you're trying to live in two addresses at the same time. Are you with me? You got one foot in the world and you got one foot in church and you're wondering why your life's not blessed. And God is saying, I didn't leave you. You left me. And it's a self-inflicted wound. I would be lying to you tonight if I said that this message is coming to you tonight free of any outside influence. But maybe the outside influence is of God. Just in these last 3 to 4 weeks, there are so many tragedies taking place in a church this size in people's lives. I'm not talking about car accidents. I'm not talking about cancer. I'm talking about the tragedy of self-inflicted wounds, where people decide, I know what God's word says, Pastor. I know what it says. I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do it. And it's the most bizarre thing. You know how police officers now these days, I guess, are wearing body cams? I think pastors should start wearing body cams. If it were legal, we can't because we have confidentiality agreements, of course, with people that we meet with, but I want to wear one. Because you would be shocked, maybe not, to hear the things we hear. I know I've been married for 27 years, but my husband's kind of, you know, a bum now, and he just doesn't float my boat anymore. And this other guy's been paying attention to me. Makes me feel really good. And I've been praying. I'm serious. And so I'm praying, and God wants me happy. A self-inflicted wound. Because a year goes by, 2 years goes by. Look, we've been doing this for a couple decades now. Decades go by, and you see the people again. How'd that work out for you? I remember you. How'd that work out for you? How'd that go? Not good. Church, we need to get back to the Word of God and hang on to the Bible and God's promises, and He will never fail us. He'll never leave us. He'll never leave us. So listen. He says, because of your iniquities, you have sold yourselves. And I wrote down in my notes to address the cost of pleasuring yourself in this world and for what? Israel, listen, at this time, Israel was worshiping at all these pagan sites in the country that God said is the promised land. God says, I have a land I'm going to give you. It's mine. I'll give it to you. I made it. I'll give it to you, Israel. And I'm to be worshiped in this land. And what they did is that they brought in all these other worship systems of all these Babylonian gods. Okay? Has that happened in America? Of course, it happens all over the world. And you can't prevent it from happening all over the world. But listen, if you're an adult, you can prevent it from happening in your life. If you're a mom or a dad, you can prevent it from happening in your home. And so you're mandated by God to do that. We're Christians. We're freaks in this world. We don't belong here. You guys are so weird. Of course we're weird. The world is marching happily to hell. Their hair's on fire. They're all dressed up. They don't even know where they're going. They're having a great time. And they're just walking right off the plank into the pit. They don't know what they're doing. Before we laugh, you and I, we were in that conga line before doing that. Until God pulled us out of it. Yeah, you know, we are freaks. We don't belong here. We'll admit it. This is not our home. I don't want to inherit this world. I want to go to heaven. Listen to what God says regarding the pleasures of this world. Proverbs 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6, verse 20. God, Solomon, technically speaking, but it's the word of the Lord inspired by the Holy Spirit. My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. I wonder if that's still legal in this day, verse 20. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. And it will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty. But sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So is it with the man who sleeps with another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. That's what God's word says. That's a fact. That is true. That's God's word. And people have lived to tell about it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, God longs to awaken us. He has all the answers to our deepest concerns. But here's the question. Are we indeed listening? Can I Ask You a Question? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, some people might think it's a bad thing that God knows all and sees all. Maybe you've been going down the wrong path, or you feel like you have to earn your way into God's heart. Or maybe you think that the poor choices you've made in life, well, they've gone far beyond God's ability to forgive. Well, here's some really comforting news. God knows you, he does. But the awesome thing is how much he still loves you. He even wants to have a personal relationship with you. So if you want to know more of what that's all about, we're here to help. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. That's the Know God tab, K-N-O-W. Now, once you're there, you'll find the information you need to make a decision for Christ and a guide to share your faith with others. Now, here's what you can do for us. Let us know about your decision to follow Christ, or maybe you've got further questions. We're more than happy to help you with those. You can call us 877-777-2346 or email us at mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Again, that's 877-777-2346 or email us. Here's the address, mail@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.